Luke chapter 10, amen, praise God. We're going to begin with verse 38, going to the end of the chapter and reading through the last verses of the chapter this morning. Again, it's good to have everybody today. We love you, appreciate you, thankful for all of you that are here, amen. Luke chapter 10, verse 38, everybody have it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody have it. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody should have it. Praise God. Amen. Luke 10:38 says this. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Amen. Praise God. They're going to bless the shofar. We want you to give the Lord praise for his word today. Come on. Let's bless him. Amen. Like his word.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. Today, I want to minister on this thought, simply the one thing, amen, the one thing. Look at your neighbor and say the one thing, amen, the one thing, praise God. Now, the story of Mary and Martha, we know, comes at the end of Luke chapter 10. We just read to you, amen, that it finished the chapter, amen, but we see that it comes after the story of the Good Samaritan, in which Jesus reiterates about the two most important, greatest commandments, which is loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. Amen. And in this story that Jesus is telling here and using to make a point about the Good Samaritan, there's a lawyer, amen, that's speaking to Jesus. And Jesus is answering and saying, he's asking him, well, who is my neighbor? Jesus, he asked, the lawyer asked Jesus, what are the greatest laws? And Jesus said, loving God, amen, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Well, that lawyer said, well, who is my neighbor? Amen. And you see, here's the thing. The lawyer had assumed that he had already fulfilled the first commandment, which was loving God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not saying that, and Jesus didn't say, but here's what you got to understand. That greatest, that first command is loving God with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Amen. So the question would be, did the lawyer truly love God, amen, in the context of that commandment with all of his heart, soul, strength, and mind? And so this is why we can come to that conclusion. Amen. And so he thought he was going to justify the fact that he assumed that he had already fulfilled that first commandment, and so he was going to justify being able to ask or to try to come to a conclusion himself, just who is my neighbor? Well, then we see that Jesus used a parable to answer the question, amen, or to define what his neighbor or who his neighbor was. This is where we get the parable of the Good Samaritan, where the amen, where the Jew was hurt and in by the wayside, and he was laying in a ditch, if you will, and he was wounded and he was hurting, amen. And the priest passed by this hurting person, amen, this hurting man, and he did nothing. He did not stop or try to help him at all. Then the parable says that the Levite, amen, of the Jewish tribe, amen, a Levite, a worshiper, if you will, passed by and never gave any regard yard to the man lying in the ditch, that he was wounded, he was hurt, that he needed help. He passed by him. Amen. Praise God. But then the Samaritan was the third person. A Samaritan stopped. Amen. And he helped that man. He poured wine and oil into his wounds. Amen. And he gave him money and took him to a hotel. Amen. And gave him a place to stay. Enough. I believe it was 2 denarii that he gave him, which would have been enough to let him stay at that hotel for 1 or 2 weeks at that time, amen. And what you have to understand is that the cultural teaching, amen, for the Samaritans, we don't want to go into all of it, but they were not to associate with the Jews. And so it would have been typical that the priest or the Levite would have stopped and helped their fellow brethren, amen. But it was the Samaritan who, by law and according to the culture, was not to have any association with the Jews, but it was him who stopped and he gave this man the help. Hallelujah. And so Jesus was saying, who is the one out of the three that was the least that you thought would have stopped and helped? And they said, the lawyer said, the Samaritan, which, if I can put it in heavenly terms, would have been his enemy. Amen. Would have been the enemy to the man in the ditch. So he said, who would be the least? Well, it would have been the one that was his enemy, or the Samaritan. And Jesus said, you have said well, that is your neighbor. Amen. So when you can love your enemies, amen, as you love yourself, come on somebody, amen, when you understand that even your enemy is your neighbor and deserving of the love of God that's been bestowed upon you, that's when you begin to fulfill those two great commands. Are you with me this morning? This is not my message, amen, but you need to understand, amen, and see the context. So now here, this lawyer is getting this perception. And then it says that Jesus entered. After this, Jesus entered into a certain village, which would have been the village of Bethany. Amen. And there was, amen, some dear friends of Jesus that lived in Bethany. And Martha was one of those friends. And the Bible says that Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. Amen. Her sister Mary and her brother Lazarus, they were all three, amen, dear friends with Jesus. Amen. So she saw Jesus and she welcomed him into her house. Amen. Now, obviously, Martha wanted everything to be good for Jesus. Amen. She wanted everything to be just right for him, for his visit in their house. And of course, she was going to be hospitable and she was going to feed him and, amen, give him food. Hallelujah. And so she became busy preparing the meal. The Bible tells us that Martha, we know Martha just got really busy in preparing the meal. But her sister Mary sat at Jesus' feet, amen, to listen to what Jesus had to say. So you picture this, amen, that Martha is now in the kitchen. Amen, praise God. I got to take my shoes off. I don't want to, but I have to. Hallelujah, praise God. So there's that. I won't be able to finish preaching if I don't. Hallelujah, praise God. Amen. So picture Martha, amen, in the kitchen. Hallelujah. Preparing and being all busy. If you've ever prepared a meal at the last minute and you hadn't planned, she hadn't planned for Jesus to be there, but she saw him and welcomed him in the house. And so now Jesus has come in. He has sat down. Amen. He has removed his sandals, no doubt. His feet has been washed as the custom was. Amen. And so he's sitting there. Martha's in the kitchen. Amen. Preparing the meal and getting ready. Amen. And her sister Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Listening to what he had to say. Now here's what I want you to pay attention to. We see in the scripture that it says, it uses the word also. Amen. If you'll pull that back up there, amen, for me. Amen. Praise God. Verse 39. If you pull verse 39, it says there in verse 39, she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So now you can take that two ways. You can take that Mark Martha was sitting at the feet of Jesus, because also Mary was, or you can take that at the context it's written, is that at one point Mary was in the kitchen helping Martha prepare, but she decided that she was going to sit at the feet of Jesus. So here's what I need you to understand. So many people think that Mary just didn't care, that it wasn't important, but this tells us that it was evident that Mary had done some preparing. So Mary wasn't lazy. She wasn't shirking her duties. She wasn't just throwing it off, onto her sister Martha. But this revealed, hallelujah, she was sitting at his feet. Sitting at his feet revealed the posture of her heart. See, her heart, amen, posture, amen, was not so much concerned about what Jesus was going to eat, but more concerned with what Jesus was going to say. Amen, praise God. So sitting at the feet reveals a heart posture. You remember when the Apostle Paul, it says in the Word, he said, I was taught at the feet of Gamaliel. Amen. So at the feet, amen, shows a desire. Amen. It shows a position. Amen. Of wanting to learn, of wanting to glean, of humbling yourself, knowing that the one whose feet you are sitting at has more to offer to you than the average person. Are you with me this morning? Stay with me. I'm going somewhere and I'm laying a foundation. But the Bible tells us now, amen, that at point or time, Mary came out of the kitchen. She's now at the feet of Jesus. And so naturally, this is going to cause Martha to become anxious, because now Martha's having to take care of everything. Amen. Now, personally, I'm a person, when I cook, I just soon be by myself in the kitchen unless I need something chopped or whatever. Amen. If I need your help, I'll ask you. Come on, are you with me? Praise God. But this was a last minute thing. It wasn't like they had planned lunch and sent Jesus an invitation and they're ready, got everything ready. Martha's now scurrying about, and I can just imagine her mumbling and complaining. I can't believe she's sitting there at his feet, and here he said, all of this, I gotta chop this, I gotta do that. And she knows that we need this done, that done. That's going to take me a lot longer. And just all of this happening. Come on, you know, hallelujah. The Bible says this about her in verse 40. Amen. It says she was cumbered about much serving. That word cumbered in the Greek is the Greek word pererspao. Amen. It means to distract. So we could say it like this. Amen. That Martha was distracted about serving. She was distracted by the need to serve. So in the presence of Jesus, Martha became distracted with the serving. I want you to hear me with that. In the presence of Jesus, someone who didn't show up at the house all the time, an opportunity that did not come frequently, but who knows when that opportunity would come again. But she was distracted in the presence of Jesus with serving. See, it wasn't that what she was doing was wrong. It wasn't that her getting ready and doing what needed to be done was wrong. It wasn't, amen, praise God, what she was doing was a good thing, right? Her problem was that she was distracted from Jesus.
Come on, talk right now.
It wasn't that what she was doing was a bad thing. It wasn't that it was wrong and that it was going to cause her, amen, consequences, amen, praise God. It was a good thing. Lunch was needed and it was something that needed to be done. But what her problem was is that she was distracted from Jesus. She thought the problem was Mary. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. When in all actuality, hallelujah, praise God, the problem was that she was distracted from Jesus. Come on, somebody, stay with me. Look at your neighbor and say the one thing. See, we can become like Martha in our service in the kingdom. We can become like Martha in our walk, in our relationship with the Lord. Oh, somebody help me today. Praise God. We can become like that. See, it's easy to look at others and compare what all we especially with social media. It's just getting worse, folks. Amen. It's just getting worse, and I believe it's going to get any better. Hallelujah. See, it's easy to look at others and say, well, I was at church, and I showed up for this, and I've been doing this, and I've been doing that, and I've done that, and I don't see them doing this, and I don't see them doing that. It's really easy to look at what others are doing and compare to what a man we are doing. See, her problem was Martha. Her problem was herself. Amen. She had allowed her eyes to be taken off of Jesus. What she thought was Mary, the issue was Mary, she had allowed herself to get her eyes off of Jesus. She became distracted and forgot to also sit at the feet of Jesus. So what she was doing was important, and it wasn't that it wasn't necessary, but she got her eyes off of Jesus in his presence. Are you with me? And forgot that she also needed to sit at the feet of Jesus. And you can do all you want for the cause of the kingdom, but if you never take time to sit at the feet of Jesus, you're going to find out, hallelujah, that the frustration and the anxiety, hallelujah, is going to overtake you. Your emotions are going to begin to rule you. You're going to begin to see others as competition. You're going to see others as your enemy. You're going to see others as against you. Amen. Praise God. If you do not also sit at the feet of Jesus. And Martha asked Jesus, she said, do you even care that Mary has left me alone to take care of all of this? Do you even care that she has left me alone to do all the work? Oh, help us, Jesus. How many of us have ever said that to God? Do you even care that I'm doing this all alone? Do you even care that nobody cares? Do you even see that nobody understands? Come on. I'm trying to help us this morning. Amen. Praise God. She asked him. She said, do you even care that Mary has left me alone to do all this work? She said, tell her to come help me. Imagine telling Jesus.
Right.
First of all. Tell her to come help me. Now, here's the thing. When you look at the context in which this is written and how this is really interpreted from the Hebrew, it literally tells us that she burst in on Jesus and she assumed a stance over him. Come on, don't act like all y'all in your pictures. I still don't understand that. I guess I never will.
Oh,
it's been all yours.
Yeah.
She's like, I just offended somebody. Woo, hallelujah. Well, on purpose. Forgive me if I did. Now let's move on. But she assumed a stance over him as if he owed her something. So here she is, you know that. Don't you even care that Mary has left me by myself to take care of all of this work? Tell her to come help me. That's the context. And she didn't come in, oh, Jesus. But she assumed the stance over him. That changes the whole atmosphere. Yeah. Come on, somebody. You ever dealt with somebody like that?
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah, right? Praise God. Thinking they got it and they know, amen. And you owe them the world, right? Praise God. And so that changes the whole atmosphere. That changes, amen, the whole idea of her demeanor, amen. But she was so distracted by what she felt needed done that she lost sight of her need to be at the feet of Jesus. So there he is, offering having a word from heaven that only he had. Amen. Wisdom and healing and deliverance, peace and joy, restoration, hope, salvation, amen, breakthrough, hallelujah, strength. Only he could offer that. Hallelujah. Now she had got her eyes off of the fact that she needed to be at his feet. And now she's standing over top of him. Amen. He's sitting down. Now she's standing over top of him with the assumption that he owes her an explanation. Oh, come on, somebody. Here's what you got to understand about the fact that she lost sight, amen, of her need to be at the feet of Jesus. Maybe you're in here today and you don't understand that you need to be at the feet of Jesus. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to show up, amen, for worship and to, amen, to lift your hands and to participate. It's good, amen, to, but to show up and cook and serve and give. It's good to feed, amen, the needy, amen. It's good to give and do all of that. But do you understand that you need to be at the feet of Jesus? You need to sit. Oh God, somebody help me today. You need to be at the feet of Jesus. But I'm afraid that in this time that we're in right now, so many are distracted. It's not that they're doing wrong. It's not that what they're doing is going to send them to hell, or that it's not a good thing. But they're not sitting at the feet of Jesus because they're distracted by all of these other things. And they feel like those things are more important at the moment than sitting at the feet of Jesus. The Hebrew word for distraction is the Hebrew word pun. It looks like the English word pun, but it's pronounced pun. Amen. It means to turn or to be distracted. So this Hebrew word for distracted, it implies a sense of confusion or being unsettled. Describes Martha, doesn't it?
Yeah. A couple of people I know.
And she's scared. The more she does, and she looks in there and sees Mary at the feet of Jesus, the more ticked off she becomes. Amen. The more unsettled she gets, the more confusion. That's, I can't believe she's sitting in there. Who does she think she is? Does she think I run this house by myself? Come on, are you with me? Amen. Who does she think she is? The more that she sat in there, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you look at the Hebrew word for distraction, it means to turn. That implies a sense of confusion or being unsettled. Amen. We know that in the Hebrew, turning is an idea or a concept that we associate with repentance. When you repent, you turn from your sin and you go away from it and you go towards the Lord. Are you with me? Amen. Hallelujah. But now you have to understand that turning is also one with being distracted. Hallelujah. You say, what are you talking about? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's go. Let's let our minds go, amen, to a desert. Amen. Near Mount Sinai in the book of Exodus, chapter 3. Amen. Now we're talking about, amen, distraction. We're talking about the turning, being distracted. Amen. Chaos. Amen. Confusion. So now we're at a desert on the backside, amen, of Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 3. Here we find a man by the name of Moses who was tending the flocks, amen, of his father-in-law Jethro. Amen. He is out there doing what needed to be done. He was out there fulfilling his job doing what he was being told to do, amen, as his part in the family. When an angel appeared in a fire that was coming out of a bush, amen, the bush was burning with fire, but we know the Bible says that the bush was not burned up. So the bush was on fire, but it was not being consumed. And the Bible says that Moses turned to see why the bush was burning. Amen. He turned to see why it was not being consumed. He could see that it was on fire, and an angel appeared out of that fire, but he could tell and see that the bush wasn't being, amen, consumed or being burnt. So the Bible says that Moses turned to see why it wasn't being burnt. And when he turned, God spoke to him from the bush. Hallelujah. When did God speak to Moses? The Bible says when God saw that Moses turned toward the bush, he began to speak to him. God did not speak to Moses until Moses turned to look at the bush. You need to understand that this morning. God didn't say, "Oh, Moses, Moses, Moses." Hallelujah. When Moses turned, hallelujah, praise God, to see why the bush was not burning, that's when God spoke to him. Hallelujah. The Bible says that when God saw that Moses turned, he began to speak to him. Here's what I want you to understand. The flock did not distract Moses from God. Let me say that again. The flock, the job, the work that he was doing did not distract him from God.
All right,
oh, you'll get that next Sunday. Occupying his time doing what was right, doing what was good, taking care of the flock, doing his part in the family, doing what he was supposed to do, it did not distract him from God. But God distracted Moses from the flock. You'll get that the Sunday after. Hallelujah. The flock did not keep Moses from looking to God, but God distracted Moses from the flock to get him, amen, to speak, be able to speak to him. You say, what are you saying? We can become distracted by the things that take us from the feet of Jesus. Are you with me? Hallelujah. I don't want the things of life to distract me from God. I do not want the things that are sent to distract me. We'll talk about them in a few minutes. But I don't want the things of my life to distract me from being, hallelujah, a man with God. I want God to distract me from the things of life. Oh, somebody better hear me in this place. That's a bold statement, and I'm confident not everybody can say that in here today, but I want God to distract me from the things, amen, of life. I need to sit at the feet of Jesus. I need to be in the presence of God. I don't want the things that I do, amen, albeit good things, to distract me from God. Stay with me. Moses didn't have dialogue with God until the flames. We don't see anywhere where it tells us that God and Moses had conversation until the bush was on fire. What do you like? So God had to do something to distract Moses to take him away from what he was doing, his busyness, his business, his fulfillment. Amen. Again, I'm not talking about, amen, things that were bad. I'm talking about Moses was working. He was doing good. He was fulfilling what he was supposed to do. Hallelujah. See, we can be distracted by the things that take us from the feet of Jesus. Can I tell you that we can be controlled my daily distraction.
Yeah.
Now it might get a little personal. I said, we can be controlled by daily distractions. Work. Our family needs. Texts. Emails. Phone calls. Meetings. Errands. Surfing the web. Being on social media. The daily distractions can control our lives. Can I tell you that the events that are happening in the world can be a distraction? Even though they're pertinent, even though that some of these things must happen, we must be careful not to become distracted by what's happening in this world. And there are a lot, many Christians who are distracted, not only by the daily things of life, but also by what's taking place in the world. I said this a little bit last week, when last Sunday morning when we did our live, but remember that this isn't the real world.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're like, wait, what? What? What do you mean? This ain't the real world. Listen, this is the created world. See, the real world is in the spirit realm. That's the world that preceded time and creation. Before time ever was, and before creation ever was, that world existed. And this world is a created world, and so there are things that are taking place, that take place in this world, amen, that are pertinent, but we cannot become distracted by those things. We can't become distracted by the need, amen, to fulfill the things that this world, amen, is demanding. Are you with me? Hallelujah. We cannot be more concerned about this world. We got to be more concerned with what's happening in that world. Because by the time things come to this world, they've already taken place in that world. On earth as it already is in heaven. Let it happen here as it's already taken place up there. That's why it's important that you don't get distracted by the daily things of this life and by the things of this world. Because when you spend time every day at the feet of Jesus, you're going to be perceptive, and you're going to become aware of that world. And it's that world that's going to, amen, change this world. It's that world that we belong to. We are not citizens of this world, but we are citizens of another country, not created by man. Oh, a city whose builder and maker is God. That's where I'm headed. I don't need mansions. I don't need automobiles. I don't need airplanes. I don't need a fat bank account. Sometimes it would be nice, but it's only temporary. That's what we need, amen, in this world. But this world is not my home. That world is my home. So I think it's important that I understand what's going on at home. That's only going to happen when you sit at the feet of Jesus.
Come on, you're talking right.
There's things. Listen, January's been, woo! What a month. It felt like it lasted at least 45 days as it is. Anybody else with me?
But we made it.
It started with historical things. It started with weather patterns and historical events, amen, that some were not even written down since, amen, they've been keeping track of things, and it ended, amen, with tragedy, amen, very sobering things right down to the last day of the month. Let me tell you something, you had better find yourself at the feet of Jesus. It's February 2nd. I tell you what, after January, amen, I'm not a doom and gloom kind of preacher. Hallelujah, but I'm telling you what, we better get our focus on that world there and what matters first before we allow ourselves to get distracted by the things down here that hold no eternal value. Come on, somebody, do you hear? Doesn't mean that those things are bad. Doesn't mean that they're not good and they don't have a place in this world. But when they become more important than being a part of that world, that's when we get in trouble. Oh, somebody help me in this place. I share it on Facebook, but I'm telling you, amen, when I was through praying on Friday morning, such a heaviness that something was going to happen. I could feel like something bad was going to happen. Amen. And I'm praying, I'm thinking, God, what is this? What is it? So immediately I go to my family, my personal world, right? Amen. And we had plans to go to Portsmouth to get our grandkids. And Luann was taking Layton to the theater at the college in downtown Portsmouth. I was taking the boys to the movie theater. My mind went, my Lord, maybe I'm not supposed to let them go to that theater. There's a lot of crazy people. And they look, amen, for crowds. And they look, amen, in the most inconspicuous places. And I thought, God, are you trying to tell me, amen, that something bad is going to happen? And maybe we shouldn't go. Maybe somebody's going to come in that theater, amen, and go off like we've seen it before. I was really feeling this heavy. And I told the Lord, if this stays with me, then we're going to have to change our plans. Well, it left me, amen, and we went. And as I was sitting there, amen, amen, the movie was finishing up, and I got the notification on my phone of the plane crash, amen, that happened, amen, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I instantly went back to what I felt in the morning, amen, hallelujah, and I thought, there it is, amen, God help us, God help us. Listen, I'm telling you, Lord help me, Jesus, to bring it down and shut it down, but I'm telling you, hallelujah, I am to the point when this world that we are living in, especially after this month of January, that I'm resolved that you better not just plan a trip and just book your flight to here and there, no thinking about it. You better spend some time at the feet of Jesus and let him know if that world wants you to get on a plane in this world. Oh, somebody better help me. You say, you're getting extreme. I'd rather be extreme and on my feet, amen, than falling out of a plane. I know I would make it to heaven. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? But I'm telling you, amen, praise God, we're in such times. Hallelujah. Things are moving rapidly. Things are escalating. The enemy has got plans that God is going to allow him to execute. And we have access to the world. Hallelujah. Where God sits on the throne. And this world is his footstool. And I want to stay in that world. You say, oh, but I can't go to, amen, to my trip. Hallelujah. Praise God. You'll take a trip, all right. You might take it right on into eternity. But my point is I encourage you to spend some time at the feet of Jesus and let him lead and guide your major decisions and your footsteps, because we just don't know. We can become so distracted by the need to get away.
Yeah.
Come on.
Oh, help us, Jesus.
You talk right.
can see her, but I might want to hide. Did you ever think about the reason why you're so stressed is because you haven't been at the feet of Jesus? Do you ever think about sometimes the reason that you feel like you need to get away and just relax and lose it all on some beach far away, amen, or in some secluded mountain cabin? It might just be because you're like Martha. It's not that you're doing anything wrong, but you've been distracted by all these other things that you feel like is important, and you have forgotten that you also need to be at the feet of Jesus. More than anything, I need somebody to help me. We're all time blaming demons for everything, and they've got a place. But sometimes, if you would just get at the feet of Jesus, you would find that anxiety and fear. Oh, we already sang it this morning. Fear has no place at the altar of sacrifice. Fear has no place at the feet of Jesus. Still preaching on the one thing.
Come on.
I'm trying to get there. I'm already here. I might as well just go a little further. It seems we can find enough time for the distractions, but not enough time for the word and prayer. Preacher, pastor, you eating it, I'm taking it. I done swallowed it. Amen. Praise God. I'm still digesting it. Amen. When I give it to you, it helps it digest more in me. Come on. We have all enough time for the distractions, but not for the time in the word of prayer. See, Adam and Eve became distracted by an image that they weren't meant to live up to.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
I'll say that again. They became distracted by an image that they were not created to live up to. What did the serpent say when he came and he beguiled Eve? And she said, yes, we're not to eat of anything except of the fruit of the tree, of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, oh, but you know that you have become gods.
Liar, liar.
You have become gods if you ate of the fruit. So now there's an image that they were not created to live up to. Some of you are trying to live up to an image as a mother, a wife, a husband, a daughter, a son. Come on, somebody. A preacher, a worship leader, a singer. Come on, somebody help me. That you were not created to live up to. Because that image is portrayed to you by the spirit of the world and not the spirit of that world.
Come on, talk right now. See. You talking right.
Oh, I know I am right now. I feel this in my belly this morning. I was between two places. What happened as a result of this? God had to cover up the glory of his image.
Come on.
He sacrificed for the first time two animals and took their skin and he covered the nakedness of Adam and Eve. They used fig leaves. We've preached plenty of times of they didn't realize they were naked until they sinned.
Well, very good.
They didn't see nakedness till they became nakedness.
That's right.
Yep.
Come on.
Yep.
So they covered themselves up with fig leaves. God said that's a temporary covering. We need blood.
Well,
because without the shedding of blood, there's what? No remission of sin. So God had to cover the glory of his image. He even put cherubim at the gates of the garden. That word cherub in the Hebrew is the word cherub. And it literally means to guard or cover. So he put those cherubim at the gates to guard his glory. Let me tell you something today. We have to guard the glory of God
talking
in our
right.
lives.
You're talking right, see.
Look, you know, it's still there. I'm still in that season. I act like I'm away from it. If some of you that's been there are, glory to God, pray me all the way, the rest of the way through. But I'm still there.
Yeah.
And it's been rough. But I can tell you unequivocally, the only thing that has sustained me in my moments of despair and weakness is from being at the feet of Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not how good of a message I preached. It's not how powerful the anointing was when we gathered together. It's not all of the things that of encouragement words. It's not all of that. All of that is good stuff. But I've been sustained by being at the feet of Jesus. So you have to guard the glory of God in your life. Because you see, here's the thing. Distractions can desensitize us to the things of the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of this world,
yeah.
Not that world,
mm-hmm.
This world.
Mm-hmm.
Distractions. They can cause us to entertain what hell has put in our spirit.
Well.
Yeah.
You're talking right.
That's good preaching, Pastor.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you, Joyce. I don't want no recognition that you get what I'm saying. I'm going to make a point. They can cause us to entertain. We can become so distracted by all the stuff. We find ourselves when the things of the world come upon us that we don't, we're so desensitized to them because we have not sat at the feet of Jesus that we don't even see them as harmful or detrimental to the glory of God in our lives. Are you with me?
Yeah.
We'll become desensitized that. They'll cause us to entertain what hell has put in our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's why we can sit in front of the TV or on our devices for 3 hours, but struggle to sit in a church service for two. We can binge and watch hours. You will lay in your bed till 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Now, I'm not a phone sucker. When I go to bed, my phone gets down. I'll lay in my bed. No, sir. I said, do it. I have a hard enough time getting this old body to shut down and go to sleep, let alone. But we can sit until 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Look at what everybody else is saying. Everyone else's opinions, everyone else's thoughts, what everyone else is doing, what they look like, while it's all going and we're filling our mind with stuff of the world. But we say we don't have time to consecrate at the feet of Jesus. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. And I'll repent. But from the pulpit to the last person downstairs, it's the truth. And then we struggle. So much so that churches have to have 2 or 3 services that are timed to last, that last an hour and a half so that people can be comfortable. You know how many people tell me I preach long? You know how many people tell me y'all just in church too long? What's too long? What's long enough?
Come on.
Come on. Are you with me? There's a limit. But my point is that it's not necessarily things that are wrong, but they are distracting us from spending time at the feet of Jesus.
Right.
So then, here we go. I'm just there. I'm just going to go.
Come on with it.
Then when we get here, We have to count on the music, the singers, and the preachers to get us into the presence of God.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
We gotta depend on, amen, it to be the right song, or it to, amen, the right lyrics to just are you with me? And there's nothing wrong with that. They serve a purpose. But when we have to depend on that because our mind is so distracted from the things of that world and we're not spending our time at the feet of Jesus. Listen, we're in the end of the last days. We got to get this thing to where our relationship is right with the Lord. Because in a moment that you think not, I guarantee you every one of those people in those plane crashes did not get up planning to not go back home or planning, amen, to fall, amen, from the sky and burn and fall to their eternal destination. You never know. Come on, somebody. Only by the grace and mercy of God are we ever spared from anything like that. But we are here and we are going to be susceptible to these things. And so we have got to spend and not let these distractions, this bickering, this, I've thought a lot about religion and denominations this week, and I've come to the conclusion, I'm going to give it to myself.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah, you don't want me to do it. The Holy Ghost don't let me. Right now, anyhow.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. But my point is we are so distracted by who's right and who's wrong and what's right and what's wrong, and we're losing people and literally falling out of the sky to their eternity, and we're missing it. I'm not saying that flippantly, and I don't say that in any disrespect, but I'm telling you the distractions that or that Martha was distracted. You remember when Goliath was against, and the Philistine army was against the army of Israel? Listen. I'm trying to finish. I'm going a little bit. When did Goliath come out? He stepped out into the middle of the valley in the morning and in the evening to taunt Israel. Israel prayed, and they still do, the Shema in the morning and in the evening. Right there on the wall, Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Lord our God is one God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength.
Yeah.
There's some other things that they add to that, amen, in another chapter, in another book, a chapter in the book of Deuteronomy. But they pray that in the morning and in the evening. Now, rabbis, Jewish rabbis teach, amen, but that's why Goliath came out at those times.
Well, yeah.
That when it was time to be at the feet of Jesus, here comes the distraction. When it was time to be in the presence of God, when it was time to declare that our God is an awesome God, that our God has never lost a battle. Hallelujah. We're learning a new song, and there's one line in both the verses. That's my favorite line. Hallelujah. That says, hallelujah, his history. Amen. The length of his robe shows his history. Hallelujah. Ain't a battle that he ain't won. Amen. Wrapped around the temple. What's that mean? You know, we preached it many, many times. But in case somebody here doesn't, every time a king would conquer a city, they would take the train of the conquered king and they would sew it onto the train of the conquering king. So the longer the train of his robe, the more battles and the more victories that he had won. And Isaiah said that God's was so long that it wrapped It's easy to get distracted and forget how faithful he is. It's easy to get distracted and to forget how much you need to love him. So he showed up as a distraction to keep them from praying. And it got to them because they would look at his size, his stature, they would look at his armor, and they would hear his words. And it would distract them from focusing on the power and the strength of their God. Are you with me? It would distort their view of the need to trust him and to put him first.
Yeah.
Somebody tell me that don't happen.
Yeah.
But David wasn't distracted by it. Come on. I said David was not distracted by it. Hallelujah. You remember Saul knew David by name before he defeated Goliath. He knew he was David. But after, how many remembers what question that King Saul asked David after he defeated Goliath? He knew him by name. Because David, amen, he knew David by name. But when David defeated Goliath, he said, "Whose son are you? Who's your dad? Who do you belong to? What's your lineage?" Oh, come on, somebody. You say, what's your point? Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm glad you asked. Hallelujah. See, when we overcome the distractions, we realize that it's not about who we are, but it's about whose we are. Are you hearing me? When we spend less time, amen, looking at what everybody else is accomplishing online, how everyone else is getting by and all that's happening with everything else. Hallelujah. And we spend time at the feet of Jesus. We know who we belong to. And we overcome the distractions. You know, I say it all the time. Don't be distracted. Now Jesus told Martha. He said, "Martha, Martha." She said to him, remember, she assumed a position, a posture over him. And she burst in and said, "Don't you even care that I'm doing all this and I'm working my fingers to the bone? And she's not helping me. Tell her to come here. Tell her to go help me." He said, "Martha, Martha." Martha, Martha. It was Martha, Martha. He said, "You're fretting and worrying over many things. Many things. But he said, few of what you're worrying about are really needs." He said, "Few of the things that you are anxious about are actually real needs." Now, who am I talking to besides me? Come on, I'm with you on that.
Yep.
Been there, done that. Worried about things that don't matter. Worried about things that we feel like are needs, and when we neglect spending time at the feet of Jesus, we become distracted by those things. He said, "Pull that back up for me, will you?" He said, "But one thing is necessary."
Yes.
"Few things that you're worrying about, Martha, are even actual needs." Let's look at verse 41. Okay, can I look at that? He said, "You're careful and troubled about many things." Now we go, "But one thing is needful."
Yes.
"And Mary has chosen that one thing."
A good heart.
"And it can't be taken from her."
Amen. Amen.
See, when you spend time at the feet of Jesus, and you know who he is, and you know you belong to him, and you keep your mind and your spirit, amen, sanctified, and you stay, amen, spiritually adept into that world, hallelujah, the things of this world. Now, when you're presented with the things in this world, and some of those things must happen and they must do, they cannot take away what you received at the feet of Jesus. Anybody can cook a lunch for Jesus, but not everybody is going to sit at his feet. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. He said, Mary has chosen the one thing that is essential, and it can't be taken from her. The one thing. Look at your neighbor and say, the one thing. Let's look at Psalm 27, verse 4. I'm closing. But the worship team has a song. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. One thing have I desired, not anything else matters, but the one thing I desire and that I will seek after is to be in the presence of the Lord. Luke chapter 18, verse 22. Now, when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all you have, distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me.
Yes.
The one thing. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Finally, Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do count. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
All the other things don't matter. Hallelujah. I have not got much. I may not have apprehended much, but this one thing I know. I'm going to spend anxious, and I have a lot of things to do, and it's easy for me to get distracted by the things that need to get done and hurry things that I should take more time with.
Glad I ain't the only one. It would be me.
That's why I would never be able to work from home. I can't even study at home. I ain't studied at home for 23 years probably. I can't. I get too distracted.
Yeah.
I need a structured environment. I need to be forced to focus on the thing. Come on. So I know that about me. I know that. And so, you know, you gotta log out, turn off notifications. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
If you need to be spending time in the Word, because if you're not careful, you can be distracted by the notification. You can get on there and you're going to read one thing. Before you know it, you spent 30 minutes reading this one. Yeah. Come on. You young people, the most important thing you can do is not compare yourself on TikTok and X and Instagram and Facebook and whatever else is there. But make time to be at the feet of Jesus. May the daily consecration. It ain't about how long you're there. See, that's that religious stuff. Now, you know, the longer you're there, of course, there's times the longer you're there, the more there's going to benefit. But it ain't about, oh, if you don't spend at least 25 minutes and, oh, well, I heard that you know, Sister So-and-so prays this, and I heard that, you know, every time Brother So-and-so gets in his prayer closet, he speaks in tongues and all this and that. Come on. That ain't what it's about. It's about not being distracted by the things of life.
Right.
And remembering the one thing that matters, the one thing that can't be taken away from you. And that's your time at the feet of Jesus. We hear it in the church. We hear it, you know, you hear it so much. I have issues with the church culture. I ain't gonna lie to you. And I don't want to get off on my rant, because I'll rant. I got issues with all this, you know, all these things that are out there, you know, all the, you know, this. If I say that one thing, I will get off on, I will go, you know, I'll be over here.
It's true.
But we hear so much in the church. We need unity. We need revival. We need holiness. We need to reach the world. We need to stand up for truth. Can I tell you that what that's interpreted? Win arguments.
Come on.
Come on.
Yeah.
We say we're standing up for truth, and some people just want to win the argument.
Come on.
Oh, help us, Jesus.
You're talking like the truth.
We need all of those things. Mm-hmm. But I'm convinced we need the one thing.
Yes.
First and foremost.
Yes.
And that's to sit at the feet of Jesus.
Yep.
And hear his word.
Yes.
And not allow the distractions. The distractions of the world. The distractions of daily life.
Yeah.
We can become distracted by taking care of our family. We can become distracted by our jobs and by our financial situation. We can become distracted by so many things. I say, get ready to come to the music. So distraught. We become so anxious, and we become so flustered, we become so upset about things that really are not needs, but they're distractions. That we forget that we also need the one thing. The one thing. I'm convinced that the one thing is going to sustain us in our time left here in this world.
Yeah. Yes.
Tomorrow is not promised to any of us, right? The Bible says our lives are like a vapor. Here once, and a moment, and then gone. Listen, God's cleaning some stuff. God's having mercy upon his people. I thought I was gonna just preach on distractions this morning. But the Lord kind of shifted it a little bit. And he said that distractions are only part of what I want my people to hear. I want to remind them. matters more than anything else. And that's being at the feet of Jesus. He has humbled me. I've told you that. He has humbled me in the last many months. Stripped me just earlier. We were in there singing. I think the second song. He said, I want you to take your shoes off today. My right foot is killing me. It's exaggeration, it's hurting. Forgive me, God. I have an issue with the right side of my right foot. And it's been flaring up. And it's really bothering me this morning. And I thought, that's the word. Let's calm down. Take your shoes off and preach on the hard floor with bare feet. When the foot doctor said, don't walk around barefoot. I don't know what the purpose is. Probably just for me. Probably just for my benefit. But as I started, he prompted me. I told you to take your shoes off. I just preach about my shoes all the time. I was known as the preacher that preached without his shoes. And I would go places. But you get old, your feet get old. You gain pounds. Just the pressure, you know? Things just don't make sense. And I wish I could tell you that because I took my shoes off, my foot's healed, but it ain't. Right? Because don't you know my foot hurts?
Come on.
What you make me take my shoe off for? You better help me.
All right, come on.
That ain't the posture that God's looking for. He's looking for the posture that Mary had at the feet of Jesus. That I've said plenty of times, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Whatever you want. I don't want the things of life to distract me from the fire of God. But I want God to distract me from the things of life. And then one way he's going to get our attention is that we focus on that one thing. The one thing is in his presence. Stay with me across this place as I get ready to worship. I'm so troubled by, my heart is heavy. I'm troubled by so many things, if I'm honest. But if I'm not careful, those things that trouble me can become distractions. And I can neglect the one thing that matters most. So I believe there's some people here today who've been battling distractions. Not things that are bad, not things that are wrong, but even good things. But it's took your focus off of the one thing that's most important. And that's being at the feet of Jesus. If you're here today, you're lost. You don't know the Lord. You're not born again. You're not saved. Now's your time. Young people, if you're in here today and you've grown lukewarm in your relationship, you struggle being the same thing outside of here that you are in the presence of your peers, you don't have to be distracted. But you can find your place doing that one thing, and that's being at the feet of Jesus. So if you're here today, you're lost. I want you to come. I'm going to ask you to come. Please come. Give your life to Jesus.